Imagine losing a fortune as a teenager and by 21, building a multi-million-dollar empire from scratch. Today's guest has mastered the art of turning setbacks into momentum, creating a legacy that's driven by both purpose and generosity. Joining us today is Andrew McNair. He is the host of Rich, Young, and Powerful podcast, best-selling author, and wealth manager who believes true success is measured by the lives you impact. Andrew, welcome on Behind Their Success.
Hey, I'm happy to be here.
Why don't you tell the audience a little bit about who you are and what exactly you do?
Yeah, so I started a company. It's a wealth management company by the name of Swan Capital. So we have our own private equity funds, and we started this wealth management firm because of my journey when I was 14. And it's so true that the two things that change your life are the books that you read and the people that you meet. And my parents were Amway salespeople, and my dad was a government employee, and they came back from a conference and they said, hey, we got this book, this purple book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and we hope that you would read it. Hopefully some of your listeners have read this book before.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, it's certainly one that I talk about and one that was actually integral in my own life.
Yeah. So it's a classic book. And when I read that book, it flipped my world upside down. I fell in love with a simple part in that book that I could make money while I was sleeping. And so I started asking really tough financial questions of my parents. And they're like, hey, we don't know a lot about money. You know, we've paid for this family home three times. You need to meet our financial advisor. And so this Mr. Miyagi made me a promise. He said, I will teach you everything you need to know about money, but you're going to have to work for $0 an hour, get out of high school at noon every day and come see me. And I will teach you, but you're going to have to do the grunt work. You're going to have to take out the trash, fill out these financial models, but I'll teach you about money. And he delivered on that promise. So from 14 to 18, I was working at that financial firm. I saved up $62,000, saving money at Denny's, the fast food chain. And I actually ended up doubling that money in the stock market, learning all of those principles I learned at the financial firm to $147,000. And so you can imagine, like, I was 18. I thought I had it all figured out, like just like every other 18-year-old does. They think they understand love, politics, religion. And I thought I knew about how money worked. And I luckily actually ended up losing every single penny, which for me was like what had to happen for me to understand the value of diversification, but more importantly, the value that you shouldn't confuse your net worth with your self-worth.
Yeah, 100%. You know, what kind of stands out to me in your story there of, you know, being a young kid willing to go work, you know, in like an internship environment there and doing it in one for free, right? I think there's a famous story of Warren Buffett, right? When he was working with Benjamin Graham, his like mentor and stuff, and he was trying to get a job with Benjamin Graham and he wanted to do it, you know, it's like, I'll work for free. And Benjamin Graham's response was, you're too expensive. Because thinking about that, even when you go to work, you know, a master in the financial world, right? Like, you don't understand how much it costs them to actually sit here and take and spend all the time with you, right? So even you working for free is still actually costing that master time and money, right? And I don't think people realize that. And kudos to you. Like, in today's world, like, people would say, what, I should go work for him for free? Why should I do that?
Yeah, I think it's incredible to, as an employer, to create opportunities like internships, as well as bringing on younger people onto your team. One, because I do think selfishly, you're going to get a lot of great ideas from those team members. But more importantly is we've all been given something. We're not self-made individuals. I don't believe there's truly anything that's self-made. You're God-made, and then there's a lot of people that poured into you. And so I think it's only right to make sure that you create opportunities in your business to be able to help the next generation. We constantly complain about the next generation, but we do nothing to help the next generation get farther than where we started.
Yeah, yeah. And I think people that, you know, say they're wanting to advance in some area of, you know, of life and get into some type of industry, I think it's important for people to realize that, you know, coming out of college, like with a 4-year finance degree, doesn't make you like God's gift to finance. You need to be able to humble yourself, right, to a degree and being able to step into a situation like that. And I think the people today that are willing to do that have such an advantage because, I, like I said, I don't know many college people out there that would take that take that job or that opportunity, because we're so worried about the instant salary, instant gratification, that we're not willing to invest that time and effort into something that may take a lot longer to pay off. Right?
You're spot on. You know, our portfolio manager, you know, started as an intern, and now he's a CFA, CFP, managing hundreds of millions of dollars, private equity funds, and he started off as an internship. And I feel bad. I don't even think we might have paid Lucas in the beginning. So I'm really thankful for those who get out there in the early part of their career and go get involved in a business and volunteer, even if it's $0 an hour.
So, Andrew, tell us, you know, obviously you're in the financial space. I'm in very similar space in the tax world. Tell us kind of your general philosophy around wealth building and things in that area.
Yeah. So we specialize in retirement. So many of our families are 3 years, 5 years out from retirement. And our philosophy is very simple. We believe in true diversification. We believe that, you know, concentration is what creates wealth, but it's diversification that keeps and retains wealth. And so it's really important to make sure that every client that we run into has a financial plan, but also has a very good mix between public markets, private markets, real estate. And so this is what we're sharing with families in our radio show, TV show. But more importantly, I think on the soft aspect is also making sure that they consider the charitable impact. That's why we have a CPA and an estate planning attorney in office, because you have to consider that if you don't use up all of this income for your retirement, how are you going to give that to your charity, your church, and your family in the most tax efficient and most meaningful way?
Yeah, 100%. There's several different stages of financial planning, right? You know, a lot of people focus on the accumulation phase, but then there's, even if you do a good job there, there's so many problems, or I would say problems, but issues you got to deal with right on the back end when you're looking at distributing assets and the tax implications of all those things. And then yeah, ultimately, depending on your situation, estate issues and what that can ultimately look like, it's, you know, working with a financial professional in those areas, there's so much value that can be added there, right? You know, people may look at the cost of working with a financial professional, but a good one's going to give you way more return on investment, right? Working with them than as opposed to not.
Yeah, spot on. You know, many times we're working with business owners, and as someone that owns a business, what we're doing is we're sitting down with them, potentially their business broker, and saying, how do we leverage your business and make sure that we increase prices, we decrease owner centralization to get the most amount of money from their largest assets, which is their business. And when they go to sell it, they know what their financial independence number is to never have to work again. And that allows us to have some really conversations when families are creating that succession plan for their business, or they're going to sell their business. They know what they need to get out of their greatest asset they've accumulated.
Yeah. And similar, Andrew, right. You know what? The vast majority of my client base is just straight up entrepreneurs. And, you know, looking at like ultimately the, you know, the sell of the business, right? People think, okay, I'm going to build this business my whole career, and then I'm going to sell it, and everything's going to be perfect there at the end. But in reality, when you think about selling your business, is you're selling an asset, right? You're selling an asset that creates cash flow for you currently. When you sell the business, you're going to get cash. And then guess what? You're going to have to figure out how to create cash flow with that new pile of money. And so there's a lot to think about there. There's a lot of planning that needs to go into that. Because like you said, it's for most people, it's the biggest asset. When they sell that, you better know all the tax implications in and out going into that. And ultimately, what you're going to do afterwards of, okay, I'm going to get this big pile of money, but how am I going to create cash flow later to live off that, or whatever your ultimate plan is with those assets?
Yeah, you're spot on. I mean, you don't spend assets at the grocery store. You spend net income. And we have to be careful when, as business owners, you know, I've had a lot of identity and DNA that's been placed into Swan Capital. And when you have to separate from that identity and separate from that income, you have to have a game plan, not only mentally, emotionally, spiritually, but also financially. And all of those aspects need to be considered before you have a strategy to exit from your business. And you may be thinking, I'm going to keep my business forever. Why would I ever sell my business? I believe that a sellable business is a keepable business, but you should always have a contingency plan for death, disability, and those that don't really put their family in jeopardy, because we're all finite creatures. So we need to have an exit plan for our business, even if we plan on doing it for the next 30 years.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. And selling, you know, you want to build a business that's built to sell, right? And most listeners listening to this thing right now, they don't have a business. They own their own job, right? The business does not operate without them. And, you know, part of what we talk about here all the time is how do we build that business to actually separate ourselves out of it, truly, truly be an owner. So there's a whole lot of hard work in getting a business to where it doesn't necessarily need the owner to be involved in it, and you can extract yourself out of it. But the amazing thing is enough. It's like, it's kind of like when you put your house for sale, right? What do when you put your house for sale? You fix it all up and you make it kind of nice. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh man, this is pretty nice house. Maybe I shouldn't leave. And you'll see that happen with business owners too, right? Like where they built it, they really worked on their business trying to prepare it for sale. And then they realize, oh, it's a nice little asset I have here. Why would I necessarily, you know, exchange it in? So I think the point is, it's like, well, really work on the business so you can make it a really nice asset. And then you can sell it. Then you can keep it. You can transfer. I mean, you can ultimately do whatever you want with it. But if it's just a job you own, no one's going to be able to get any value out of that, generally speaking, right? Because it just revolves around you.
I had to make the decision, you know, about midway through, you know, my business, that I would have to choose, like, am I going to build a business around my life, or am I going to build my life around my business? And I love the analogy that we all juggle, you know, a bunch of rubber balls and crystal balls. And if we sadly drop the rubber ball of a business deal, a client, even as tragic as that would be, they're rubber balls that will bounce back. There may be more clients in the future. But when we drop our health, that's crystal. We drop that, our faith, we drop our family, we drop our friends, those shatter. And so it's really important to make sure that you're building your business around your life. And if you do that, you don't have to sell your business, but you should always have a contingency plan just in case, because of death, disability.
Looking at, you know, obviously we got a crowd here, listeners of entrepreneurs. You know, when it comes to money and entrepreneurs, what is one of the biggest pieces of advice that you would have for them, or something you see them typically struggle with? What's one big piece of financial advice you'd have for the listeners?
Yeah, for entrepreneurs, one of the biggest books that changed my life, we started with, you know, the two things that change your life are the books you read and the people that you meet. For me, one of the books that changed part of my business was The Road Less Stupid by Keith Cunningham. And so what I've done is I've built this AI board room of my favorite entrepreneurs, from Walt Disney to Warren Buffett. And I go through my thinking questions. I set aside time on a weekly basis to think about my business, just not operating inside my business. And set aside that 30 to 45 period of time to go through those questions and ask really great, thoughtful questions. Like, what if I could only have 100 clients? How could I treat those clients better than 1,000 clients? Or what if I could only operate on referrals? How would I change my business structure? Or what things do I not see? What could derail our business? And it gets me thinking in a different perspective and coming into our business as a consultant to say, hey, if I had to start all over again, here's another thinking question. If I had to start all over again and I had to rehire all of my team, who would I rehire and who would I not? And that allows you to say, hey, here's who I need to pour into with training, or maybe here's I need to make some changes with my team. And so those questions allow business owners to set aside time, think about their business, and not go the road more stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, I love Keith Cunningham. When you say AI board, so practically, what do you mean by that? What are you doing there?
Yeah. So what I do with the client board, the advisory board that I have in my ChatGPT, I actually do have a client board that we actually sit down our top clients once or twice a year and ask them a bunch of questions. But the advisory board that's in my chat is I use ChatGPT, and I've loaded up all my thinking questions, and they already know a lot about my business based on what I've added in there. And then I've decided who I wanted to have a part of my advisory board, like Warren Buffett, Henry Ford, Abraham Lincoln, people that I respect that I want to take their advice from. And I have used that client board to bounce questions and say, here's the thinking question. What do you think? How would you have ran Swan Capital if you were Walt Disney with this question? What would you have done? And it's been really a nice conversation that we've had, and it allows me to think in an even different perspectives and different shades of perspective.
Yeah, yeah, that's really cool. That I've done some things similar, right, with my own AI and loaded a lot of business contacts in there and have a lot of conversations with it. I don't know if this is where you got it from, but that really goes back to the Think and Grow Rich book by Napoleon Hill, where he, you know, when he wrote this book 100 years ago or whenever it was, he had his own mental advisory board, right? And but it was just totally all in his imagination. It was like Abraham Lincoln and Henry Ford and all these, you know, big players at the time. But it's really cool that now we can do that with technology and really get a solid answer of how maybe those people would have answered those questions. It's pretty wild. And I don't think people realize how much tools are out there like that, that now you can use to really bounce ideas around in your head and almost in like a therapeutic type way, or just allows you to get other perspectives without necessarily even having to talk to other people.
Yeah, I think it's a great opportunity with technology that we've never had before, but it's just like history. We must learn from it because history does rhyme. And so these are not new principles. The mastermind principle from Think and Grow Rich is age old, but now we can use all the biographies and interviews and articles ever written about Henry Ford. And we can really use that with AI and super intelligence to help us make better and greater businesses. And the beauty of all that is to add more value to the marketplace, add more value to our clients, and then obviously add more beneficial workplaces for our employees.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I mean, the tools are amazing. And every day just playing around with AI, I'm just thinking, where does this all go? And like even just, you know, the amount of intelligence it'll have in 5 years, 10 years. I mean, it's hard to even understand where ultimately all this ends up.
Are you looking for a new tax experience? Looking for an advisor that actually brings you high-level ideas and proactively plans so you aren't overpaying your taxes? Or how about one that even just responds and communicates in a timely fashion? If any of that resonates with you, you probably just have a tax preparer and not a tax planner. And it is through the tax planning process where all the value is found. And when tax planning is done right, it has a positive return on investment. I'm Peyton Squires. I'm a CPA and owner of Squires Tax Planning. We work alongside entrepreneurs and high-income earners, helping them pay the least amount of income taxes, both legally and ethically. We have saved our clients hundreds of thousands of dollars through specific strategies, and we guarantee we can find multiple tax strategies that your current tax preparer hasn't told you about. If that interests you, head over to squirestaxplanning.com. There you can take our free assessment to see how likely it is that you are overpaying on your income taxes. From there, you can also book a free tax discovery call with our team to see what it would look like to have us working for you.
So looking at you too, Andrew, as a guy, you know, I know faith and purpose play a big, big role in your life, your world. Can you speak to that as a leader, how your faith plays into that?
Yeah, I think it's really important. You know, when people are, you know, going to do business with someone, they have to like, trust, and respect them. And so we are very vocal with our beliefs about generosity, about faith, and that's not right for everyone. And when you create a business, you have to decide, like, who is your client avatar? And that's why so much has been written about client avatar, is making sure that you know that person. And the families that we like to work with every day are families of faith that believe that generosity is a key to happiness, that greed is the opposite and the antithesis, is not going to lead them to more flourishing and happiness. And so we love to speak about that. That's why I created the Rich, Young, and Powerful podcast. And We've had some really fun people from everyone, from Larry the Cable Guy to Kurt Warner to we've just had some really great people on the show, because there are great charities and organizations that are out there that a lot of families are just not aware of. And so I really wanted to spotlight the work that these musicians and these artists and these athletes were actually not only dedicating their finances to, but dedicating their life to. And so we've been really pleased with the response from clients on listening to the podcast. And so I would tell people that whatever you believe, your business should have your DNA in it, and you should never feel like you have to hide from that what you believe.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. That authentic message, right? And what I would say, it doesn't even matter necessarily what it is, as long as it's you. And it's authentic, right? It allows you, when you lean into that, one, it makes you unique in one way or another, right? Because everybody has their unique flavor a little bit, right? And some people are absolutely going to love that and be super attracted by it. And at the same time, some people aren't. And that's fine. Because once again, like Andrew, you can't serve everybody in the world necessarily, right? So it's a matter of, you know, attracting the clients that you want to have. And honestly, at the same time, that repels the clients that you don't necessarily want to work with. And I think it's really just lean into that authenticness. And people don't realize that if you don't lean into that, your business doesn't have any type of personality. Like, no one knows how to evaluate you. Like, they don't know what you are. You don't stand out. You're just another financial firm, right? Like, and there's 10 million of those. So like, if you don't lean into your unique self, what do you really even have?
Yeah, and every business can do this, right? So you have a dog whistle that is only heard by your client avatar. You're going to create a very successful business. And some businesses are going to need 100 of those clients to hear the dog whistle, and some may need 10,000 based on what service or product you're selling. But you're right. You will get lost in the sameness. And so we have just decided that we're going to build the business around my life and what I believe. And those beliefs have carried me and my family financially. And we try to practice what we preach. And a lot of people will say, hey, I want that. And especially with investment advice, more than anything, is when you take financial advice from someone, you're trading places with that person. So they better be farther than you financially, or headed in the same direction, at least, and believe what you believe.
Yeah, 100%. I see that. I see that often. And as listeners, I think here's a piece of advice. You need to be taking advice from people that have done or are doing what you want to do, right? Or, you know, they're the people you're taking advice from are a step or two ahead of you, at least, right? Often, you know, there's mismatches there where, you know, maybe you're going to a financial professional, and if their own life isn't put together, maybe that's not who you should be taking advice.
Yeah, and that's the ethos. And I would encourage every business owner to follow this example. Like, for example, we have our own Swan Portfolios. We have our own Signet Real Estate Fund and our own Nest Fund. Well, I'm the biggest client of Swan Capital. I have $2 million of my own money in Signet. My own Swan Portfolios, my Roth IRA, my Roth 401k are invested in our Swan Portfolios. I make all 17 employees put their money in our 401k, but not only our Swan Portfolios, because they have skin in the game. And when clients see that, when your clients see that you're practicing what you preach and you're doing what you're saying they should do, of course, they're going to follow in step. So wherever business, product, or service that you have, make sure that you're one of the biggest customers of it, if possible.
Once again, the quickest way to success in my mind is to hire somebody that's already been there before, right? They already know that road. Sure, you can hire somebody that maybe is figuring it out along with you, but to me, why take that risk? You know, there's plenty of people you could work with that have already been down that road. And for me, it's like, you know, if I have goals, I want to accomplish them. Like, what is the most efficient path to get there, right? And that's working with people that have already, been down that road. They know all the rabbit holes and the caveats and what to avoid and what to do. And I think often, well, I don't think all of that, but we all very much so get caught up in taking advice, not even just in financial space, but from, you know, family members, friends, and whatnot, even taking advice about entrepreneurship. And we don't actually filter like who that advice is coming from and what experience they actually have and what qualifications they actually have to give said advice. So, Andrew, another question here for you, man. Setbacks, right? That's something you learned well, you know, as an 18-year-old. And of course, you said that, you know, in all honesty, in a great assessment, that it's probably the best thing happened to you, or it certainly set you up for future success and understanding how easy that could all just disappear. What practices do you personally do that kind of keep your mindset strong and ready to execute?
Oh, that's such a great question. I mean, I do believe in the miracle morning and what it talks about in that book, and I practice that. I think bookending your days is so important. Like, I know that I could have a lot of craziness throughout the day, but I know my beginning and my ending are going to end the same way. So I always start with Pray the Word podcast from David Platt while I'm getting ready. So I'm listening to a podcast while I'm getting ready. Then what I'm doing is I will make sure that I down a bunch of water. I won't eat till about noon. I'll fast till then. And then I'll make sure that I do some of my Bible quiet time, reading time in the morning to set my mind right for what could lie ahead when I get to the office. I'm really spoiled. I actually have my dad who works part-time for me. He drives me to work and drives me back home to my office, to my house. And so during that time, I do that quiet time. And then I end the day with, I always go to the gym at night. I have a personal gym at my house. I also have a sauna and steam room. And so that allows me to de-stress and then get to bed on time. I'm a big fan of the Uller. If you don't have an 8 sleeper Uller, that was something I heard on another podcast, and I heard it over and over again. And so I was like, I need that to chill my bed down and keep me at the right temperature. And so that is some of my bookends that I do throughout the day.
Like that, I do a lot of the similar things where just morning routine. I think what that routine is probably less important of what the specifics are than the ability to slow down and figure out and take time to, I kind of call it like shutting my brain off, but like, yeah, do the same kind of thing in like a sauna. It kind of revolves around like a workout routine that I've gotten really into, that it's just kind of my meditative practice, right? I think people hear those routines and, you know, maybe get a famous person's routine and they just try to copy that. And it's like, it's not really about the activities themselves necessarily. Sure, there's activities that get you in a better mindset and that kind of thing, but it's really just, it's finding a consistent routine that works for you, that if you do it daily, you know, it's just sets you up for success, right? Like drinking water or working out every day and that kind of thing. So, Andrew, we got listeners that are very well down their entrepreneur journey and then others that are just looking to start out. What piece of advice would you give for those guys sitting there at the beginning that are thinking about jumping into the world of entrepreneurship?
I would think jump right in. We need more businesses in America. And I think that, you know, it is one of those great opportunities to be able to help a lot of people with, there's so many great business needs out there in the marketplace. And I would just encourage that young person to prioritize self-education, prioritize a lifelong learning. And then I would just make sure that you prioritize profit. I mean, one of those great books, Profit First, is so important to understand that if you are just going to build a good business and don't think about the profit, your family and your finances personally will suffer. And that's why it's so important that you have your priorities correct. Like, Swan Capital exists to add value to the marketplace, to add value to the employees. And of course, and unabashedly, I'm going to say, add value to Andrew McNair's finances and his family. And so you want to make sure that you don't forget those profits, because you don't want to have at the end of your retirement, the only assets that you have is your business. And I encourage families to invest outside their business in tax-free investments so that they have that financial independency to take even more risk as they continue to grow their business.
Yeah, that's some great advice, Andrew. Yeah, I mean, and yes, for entrepreneurs starting out, jumping in, figure out how to jump in is fantastic. Entrepreneurs, as they're developing, and I love you talked about Profit First. Well, I'm not a huge, you know, I don't implement the strategy itself, or not many of my clients have. I think it's the mindset around it is what I think is important, that you're designing the business intentionally to produce profit, right? And you know what that needs to be. You know what your break even, you know what all those things are. And it's amazing, as a guy that's worked with 1,000+ entrepreneurs, how I could probably count on 2 hands how many people that actually do anything like that. Well, it's not that bad, but you know what I mean? It's a very low number, and it's the intentionality around it. It's setting yourself up to win, designing the business, knowing the margins and the revenue and everything you need to actually hit to do whatever goals you have. Because you're right, a nonprofit business, when it's supposed to be a for-profit business, is going to be a business that's out of business. And ultimately, that's not going to help anyway. Andrew, man, this has been a great conversation, man. I appreciate you coming on the show. What is the best way people can learn more about you, learn about your financial practice, and just follow you and get to know more about you?
Yeah, check us out at the Rich Young and Powerful podcast on Spotify and Apple. Tune in there. If you want to find out more about Swan Capital, it's Sleep Well at Night Capital. So swan-capital.com, and you can check out more information on our company. And hopefully you'll check out my book too, The Giving Crisis, that shares my story from greedy to generous, where I ended up giving most of my net worth away and half of Swan Capital's profits away going forward.
Awesome, Andrew. Any last piece of advice for the listeners before you sign off?
I would just say, go out there, start a business if you haven't. Of course, it might not work on the first business, but the second business might be the greatest business. And we need more businesses out there, and we need more companies taking more risk, because we don't want fewer and fewer companies. Our capitalist economy runs off people just like you. You're the backbone of our society. And so keep it up. Keep up the great work and grow in businesses.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Andrew, I appreciate you so much. And listeners, we'll catch you next time.
Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. If you found it valuable, please rate, review, and share it. That is the best way to help us build this and reach more people. As we're trying to accomplish our goal of help creating more healthy, wealthy, and wise entrepreneurs. You can follow us on social media by searching for me, Peyton Squires, or going to peytonsquires.com. On the website and social media, we're always sharing tips of personal growth, and there we can actually interact. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks, guys.